Good morning from across the United States,
right.
Around the world, if you're picking us up, we're glad you turned your radio on. The Lord has blessed us. We are here for another Sunday to praise God. So hopefully you'll put aside all the distractions of the week. Put aside the worries of the coming week. Let's take this time to reflect on what God wants us to do, what God wants us to say, how to act. Let's be sensitive to one another. Check on your neighbors, family, friends. We're here to say hi. We're here to say welcome to the Lord's house, and we're going to worship.
We are. This is to kind of let you know that as we gather, we do it fully cognitive, that we're doing it to lead worship, to be worship for us. This is not a performance any more than every Sunday. For me, it's never been a performance these 44 plus years. So this day, our radio broadcast, and we gratefully welcome them as a sponsor, is Dale and his dear wife, Toni. And I understand, Dale, you're a neighbor down the street from me. We live at 1284 Craft Road next to OK Upholstery. We'll have to get together. So Dale and Toni, thank you. Thank you for sponsoring this. Been part of our Savior under the pastorage of Pastor Rob. So this radio broadcast this day is going to bring you much music. I always make sure about 30 minutes of it is not some lengthy sermon by some boring pastor. It is full of rich music. And I'm an eclectic. I remember Sharon Hudson said to me after a couple of years being here at our Savior, Pastor, I can't figure you out. What music do you like? I said, I like every genre of Christian music. Yeah. Then Christian music came out and I could add to it. Well, there's a few genres I don't like, but here we are. And our first hymn this day is...
Amy Grant.
What's it? Amy Grant. Hope the disc jockey is going to play Joyful, Joyful, We Adore Thee, a little jazzy. My sister asked to be in
reflect the
triumph song. Joyful music leads us onward in the triumph.
In a joyful mood. It's a beautiful day. Listening to the weather forecast for this Sunday, August 30th this morning at 4 a.m. How glorious. It's going to start at low 50s up here in Michigan, and then it's going to warm up to 76 if the weathermen are right. But a glorious day. So we come before you, Lord, bringing ourselves. And likewise, we come before God in confession and being honest and truthful. We begin. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, whose steadfast love is everlasting, whose faithfulness endures from generation to generation.
Amen. Amen.
Trusting in the mercy of God, let us confess our sin. Together, let us pray.
Reconciling God, we confess that we do not trust your abundance. And we deny your presence in our lives.
We place our hope in ourselves
and rely on our own efforts.
We fail to believe that you provide enough for all.
We abuse your good creation for our own benefit.
We fear differences and do not welcome others as you have welcomed us.
We sin in thought, word, and deed. By your grace, forgive us. Through your love, renew us. And in your spirit, lead us, so that we may live and serve you in newness of life.
Amen.
Beloved of God, by the radical and abundance of divine mercy, we have peace with God through Christ Jesus, through whom we have obtained grace upon grace. Our sins are forgiven, so let us live now in hope. For hope does not disappoint us, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Our entrance hymn of praise, got to title it correctly, and it's by the Gaither Vocal Band. There's just something about that name.
Jesus. There's just something about that name.
Master,
Savior, Jesus,
like the fragrance.
After the rain.
mention of his name can calm the storm, heal the broken, raise the dead. At the name of Jesus, I've seen sin-hardened men melted, derelicts transformed, the lights of hope put into the eyes of a hopeless child. At the name of Jesus, hatred and bitterness turn to love and forgiveness. Arguments cease. I've heard a mother softly breathe his name at the bedside of a child delirious from fever, and have watched as that little body grew quiet and the fevered brow cool. I've sat beside a dying saint, her body racked with pain, when those final fleeting seconds summoned her last ounce of ebbing strength to whisper her sweetest name. Jesus. Jesus. Emperors have tried to destroy it. Philosophies have tried to stamp it out. Tyrants have tried to wash it from the face of the earth with the very blood of those who claimed it. Yet it still stands. And there shall be that final day when every voice that has ever uttered a sound, every voice of Adam's race, shall rise in one mighty chorus to proclaim the name of Jesus. For in that day every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is truly Lord. So you see, it was not mere chance that caused an angel one night long ago to say to a virgin maiden, his name shall be called Jesus. Jesus. Say that name with me, Jesus. Ah, there is something about that name. Now sing it.
Something about that name.
That particular hymn is certainly a hymn of praise, and if you really ponder and enter into a worshipful mode of praise, you realize how important naming Jesus is. It's not to a nameless, faceless God. So our greeting and our worship, the Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Oh God, we thank you for your Son, who chose the path of suffering for the sake of the world. Humble us by his example. Point us to the path of obedience, and give us strength to follow your commands. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
Amen. And we turn it to Cheryl to bring.
Mama Cheryl.
Mama Cheryl. Well, she's not my mama.
Well, she's mine.
God's word.
The first lesson comes from Jeremiah, chapter 15, selected verses. Oh Lord, you know, remember me and visit me and bring down retribution for me on my persecutors. In your forbearance, do not take me away. Know that I count. Let me back up. Know that on your account, I will suffer insult. Your words were found, and I ate them, and your words became a joy and the delight of my heart. For I am called by your name, O Lord, God of hosts. I did not sit in the company of merrymakers, nor did I rejoice under the hand of the weight as I sat alone. For you had filled me with indignation. Why is my pain unceasing, my wound incurable, refusing to be healed? Truly, you are to me like a deceitful brook, like waters that fail. Therefore, thus says the Lord, if you turn back, I will take you back, and you shall stand before me. If you utter what is precious and not what is worthless, you shall serve as my mouth. It is they who will turn to you, not you, who turn to them. And I will make you, to this people, a fortified wall of bronze. They will fight against you, but they shall not prevail over you. For I am with you to save you and deliver you, says the Lord. I will deliver you out of the hand of the wicked and redeem you from the grasp of ruthless. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
Our psalm comes from 26 selected verses. The antiphon is, your love is before my eyes. I have walked faithfully with you. Give judgment for me, O Lord, for I have lived with integrity. I trusted in the Lord and have not faltered.
Test me, O Lord, and try me. Examine my heart and my mind.
For your steadfast love is before my eyes. I have walked faithfully with you.
I have not sat with the worthless, nor do I consort with the deceitful. Your love is before my eyes. I have walked faithfully with you.
I have hated the company of evildoers. I will not sit down with the wicked.
I will wash my hands in innocence, O Lord, that I may go in procession round your altar,
singing aloud a song of thanksgiving and recounting all your wonderful deeds.
Lord, I love the house in which you dwell, and in the place where your glory abides. Your love is before my eyes.
I have walked faithfully with you. Our second lesson comes from Romans chapter 12, selected verses. Let love be genuine. Hate what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with mutual affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not lag in zeal. Be ardent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in suffering. Persevere in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints. Extend hospitality to strangers. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Do not claim to be wiser than you are. Do not repay anyone evil for evil, but take thought for what is noble in the sight of all. If it is possible, go far as it depends on you. Live peacefully with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves. Never leave room for the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, says the Lord. No, if your enemies are hungry, feed them. If they are thirsty, give them something to drink. For by doing this, you will heap burning coals on their heads. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
The gospel of this day, continuing from the Gospel of Matthew, that 16th chapter, beginning with verse 21. Glory to you, O Lord. Now last week, you might remember, Peter made the declaration, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God, when asked the question, who do people say I am, and who do you, all 12 of you, say I am? Peter blurted out, you are the Christ. So the text continues. So from that time on, after Peter confessed that Jesus was the Messiah, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and undergo great suffering at the hands of the elders, the religious leaders, the chief priests, the scribes, and he would be killed. And on the third day, he would be raised. And Peter took Jesus aside and began to rebuke him, saying, God forbid it, Lord. This must never happen to you. But Jesus turned to Peter and said to Peter, get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me. For you're setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things. Then Jesus told his disciples, if anybody wants to become my followers, then let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it. Those who lose their life for my sake will truly find it. For what will it profit them if they gain the whole world, but they have forfeited their life to attain it? Or what will they give in return for their life? For the Son of Man is to come with his angels in the glory of his Father, and then he'll repay everyone for what they have done. So truly, I tell you, there are some who are standing even here who will not taste death before they see the Son of Man coming in his glory. This is the gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Dear friends in Christ Jesus, God's grace, God's mercy, God's peace be with us this day. Amen. Before I begin, I'm just closing my eyes and just looking upon faces that have sat in the pews and now for what, the last 6 months are not sitting here until it's safe for all, not just a few. How much is a life worth if one should become sick, if we could have avoided it? That is the question that has no answer, but it has a value base. That every life is important, not just color of skin, every life. So today there are two things running through the three lessons. That's why it's important to see all the lessons selected for a given day, not just one text. So from Jeremiah 15th chapter, when I was in seminary, this was my first time after being a young Christian, age 21 by that time in my life, that I should hear the words of one who is a faithful servant of God and actually yelling at God and knowing he didn't get zapped by lightning. Understanding you can still serve God and be angry with your results. Unfortunately, the world and even churchgoers judge a preacher or pastor by the size of the congregation. If you're one of those weary Christians, then you would have fired Jeremiah. He did not have a following. He had his own little students. He had a secretary who recorded it that would become the book of Jeremiah. But his sermons fell flat as far as changed behavior upon Israel. So he says, God, what's up? I'm going to kind of speak the vernacular, because I have identified with this passage so much in pastoral ministry and the wanting to see the fruit of one's ministry. So Jeremiah says, you know what, Lord? You asked me to do this, and I willingly, reluctantly, said, okay, sign me up, I'll do it. And so when it came to the time of doing it and I preached your word faithfully, they started beating me. They said, shut up, you're a false one. You don't know the truth. Our religious leaders, they're all knowing. We'll visit that one in the gospel lesson. All knowing, huh, really? So anyways, Jeremiah and his plea, we call this the Lament of Jeremiah. Of all the prophets of the Old Testament, I've studied them all, and I even took one class for one semester in the Greek and Hebrew of the book of Jeremiah. We dissected it, we pulled that sucker apart, and I grew so much spiritually. God, you called me to this task. The results are not promising. And the negativity is terrific, and it even assaults my body. And then if you look at the twist at the end, it's so gentle. You can't even notice you have to. There is no red letter edition of the Old Testament. He complains about, your words were found, I ate them. Your words have been for me a joy and a delight. I found pleasure in them. You called me by your name, O Lord. I didn't even, I controlled my behavior, so I wasn't not party spiriting. Nor did I take time to rejoice, because the weight of your hand has sat upon me. You filled me with indignation, okay? I shall make for you a fortified wall if you will come back to me. Who's speaking? Did you see the subtle change from Jeremiah speaking his personal sentiment and feelings to now God speaking to Jeremiah? You can pull out your Bible, but it doesn't say where those words come from. It comes from the messenger Jeremiah, because he got it straightforward. If you turn back, the Greek word and Hebrew word means to have a change of heart, Jeremiah. You're speaking nonsense. You're speaking what? Your own complaints come out of your own heart. I will take you back, Jeremiah, but you make the approach to me. Many times we as believers have been strong in our faith, but you know, sometimes in traditions call it backsliding. If you come back to me, it's not God going to come back to you. God makes the approach, and God does not force God's self on anybody. But if you return, you shall be greeted and welcomed. You're not going to be crawling in dust and dirt and treated like a worm, as we would say in the seminary. If you utter and continue to speak my precious word, and not the worthless stuff you are doing from your mouth, then you shall be blessed. And how much garbage comes out of our mouths? You know, I could ask you to time yourself. How many words in a day speaks positive about your God and your relationship to God in front of other people? And how much of our garbage coming out of our mouth is about criticizing other people and ignoring God? Come back to me, speak wisdom, not nonsense. Let's talk about things that matter, not things that don't matter. And I shall make you strong. You will be so bolstered up, you can face all the criticism, you can face all the stuff that people will throw at you. You know the history of Jeremiah. tradition, an oral tradition, is that Jeremiah watched the city of Jerusalem burn to the ground, and it broke his heart. And the book of Lamentations is written about the cry for the city and the people of God. I jotted down in my notes as I was reading the Old Testament reading for the last week. I wonder if this is how Martin Luther the Reformer felt. The world was against him. Literally, it was. The Holy Roman Empire, the Pope, the political and religious authorities condemned him at the Diet of Worms. And there he stood. Who gives you the right to criticize the Mother Church? Unless I hear it and see it in the Word of God. I cannot, I will not recant on anything I have taught or said. So help me God. It's hard to be a minority of one or a majority of one, Thomas Jefferson said. But we have to sometimes separate ourselves from the herd, H-E-R-D, and proclaim our faith in Jesus Christ. Second reading, Romans. I told my dear wife, Cheryl, because she thought I reread the whole epistle lesson last week. Get ready, I'm going to do it virtually today. Here's what I did. For those in the Bible Study Wednesday, which is open up to anybody in the community, just identify yourself to me so I know how many are coming, if it's a safe number. But the invitation is to everybody on Wednesday mornings at 10 a.m. Okay, here we go. We talked about this text and all the, if you understand English grammar and structure, sentence structure, it almost sounds like a run-on sentence by the Apostle Paul. In the seminary, we used to laugh at how Paul constructed his writings. There are 19 clauses. I took time to number them and separate them. You ready? Let love be genuine. Don't fake it. Comes from the heart, or it's not love. Hate what is evil. In the days in which so much there is of evil in this nation, in this world, hate it. Don't embrace it. Don't take the line and take the whole sinker and sink. Hold fast to what is good. Embrace it. Cherish it. Love it. God's word, God's teaching, the values of the kingdom. Number four, love one another with mutual affection. This is a reciprocal in the body of Christ, the church. Love one another with mutual affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. In other words, don't put your head and get haughty, but rather embrace and show honor to all in the body of Christ. Number five, don't lag in zeal. In other words, don't drag your heels. Be ardent in spirit. Jump to it. Get it going. You have a life to live for God. Don't waste it. Number six, serve the Lord. It can be trite. It's not meant to be. All things you do, from sunrise to sunset, you dedicate it to God. I ask God in my prayers, guide me to who I should call. Guide me to the interruptions that will take place in my day. Guide me in fulfilling what I think is my intent for the day. Guide me, me, because I am here to serve you, Lord, not for you to serve me. Number seven, rejoice in hope. Now, in the Doris Barker household, a lot of times grandparents and parents want to have kids real quick. That was not God's intent for us. We had a stillbirth, death, a miscarriage, spontaneous abortion, they call it medically. So in the first pregnancy, we had to wait. We went through therapies. We did everything. I always tease people, it was more fun trying to have kids than ever acquire them. You understand what I mean if you're a parent. Then we adopted. And we were so happy, I think I can say for my wife and I. And then she was going to develop health problems that we could not foresee, sudden infant death syndrome, crib death. And we gave her the name Hope. And she has been our hope for these 39 years. The doctors at the Children's Hospital in Indianapolis thought she would not survive. Of course, they didn't tell us that until she was 5 years old. And God beat that timetable. She's 39. Be patient in suffering. If you're going to suffer, and we're not talking arthritis, we're not talking this and that, the bumps and bruises of outrageous fortune, as Shakespeare says. No, suffering for the sake of the kingdom. Be patient in that. Persevere in prayer. Oh, I asked the Lord. Well, how many times? No, I just left it there. Really? Have you persevered in your prayers before God? 10th, contribute to the needs of the saints. Oh, God helps those who help themselves. That is not scripture, and that's anti-Christian. God helps us. And God graciously blesses us. And these blessings materially that you and I receive are not for our greed, not for our accumulation, not for our future allocation to our kids when we die. They are for helping the needs of God's saints. Extend hospitality to strangers. Some people are so gifted at this. They'll say things like, I never met a stranger. I made them friends. Hospitality, that's getting out of the way so that we can welcome a person into our life and our relationships. Hospitality. If I pastored a church, I want that congregation to be known in the community as being hospitable, not meaning cranky. Too many churches have that reputation. Number 12, bless those who persecute you. Good Lord, you crazy? No. Jeremiah thought it would be easy. Wasn't going to be. Bless them. Be surprised when you hear the gospel lesson, what he meant. Number 13, bless. And do not curse him. Our tongue is a powerful thing. James writing in the New Testament. It can start fires. It can start wars. Don't curse him. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. It's called compassion, empathy. It's not sympathy. It's kind of gooey stuff. Rejoice. Be able to be flexible and care about the neighbor. Live in harmony with one another. So many churches have a wonderful reputation of harmony, and some congregations, regretfully because of human sin, have a reputation of disharmony. Live in harmony with one another. Seek by not being haughty, number 16, but associate with the lowly in your community, in your life, your sphere, your circles. Come on, look around you, who you're not talking to. Who are you excluding from friendships? 17, do not claim to be wiser than you are. Oh, Paul, 1 Corinthians talks about a little bit of knowledge puffs up. People who hear something on the gossip line, they have to be next in line to tell it to somebody else. That is wrong. Gossip is wrong. Don't pretend to be wiser than you are. Just shut up. 18. Do not repay anyone evil for evil, but take thought of what is noble in the sight of all. Seek the higher level. Number 19, and then we'll start. If it is possible, this is the clincher. You ready? If it is possible, so far as it depends on you, live peacefully with all people. You can't do it with everybody. You do it as best as you can, as far as is humanly possible on your part, and just love them in spite of. Okay, make sense? So that's the second reading. Third one, gospel. Here we're dealing with Jesus' teaching. And in that teaching, our Lord, remember how Peter had confessed Jesus as the Son of the living God. That moment, for you as well as for Peter, is a moment of what, a visitation, a revelation. See, this is not knowledge that we acquire. As Jesus said, blessed are you. You didn't even think this one through. It's not rational, but you have believed because of the Holy Spirit. It's a life-changing moment. I hope you have had that. Well, that precedes what is going to be said. Jesus tells them, we're going to be suffering tough times now. This has been an easy cruise for you guys and for me. Now we're going to hit this. What? The troubling waters? The bad turf? The understanding that this is going to shake you up and make you want to vomit. And when Peter hears Jesus saying, I'm going to die, man, he says, God forbid it. That means we're going to fall in that hit hole too. Plus, we're going to lose you as a friend, but boy, we're going to be sucked in this hole, Bermuda Triangle. Get behind me, Satan, was Jesus' reaction. You are a stumbling block to me. If you think that the Christian faith is going to be easy and then you fall away, that you're one of the four soils Jesus spoke about several weeks ago in the parable of the soil and the seed. You're going to dog out when the going gets tough. No, it's going to get tough. No surprise, it's not the pastor's fault. And many times the scriptures will say, they're not rejecting you, they're rejecting me. And that's true. If you want to become my followers, you must take up your cross and follow me. How many Lenten seasons have been dedicated to that theme? Self-denial. Self-humiliation to the point that you come second to God, to others, than only you third in line. And Jesus asks that final question and says, look, people, come on, man, you 12. What's it going to do if you became president? What's it going to do for your soul if you get that promotion? What's it going to be if you have accumulated all this wealth and you live in the largest, most, what, gorgeous home in the neighborhood or in the city or in the state? And when you stand before God, you're penniless. Check your pockets. You and I did not come into this world with anything, so we're going to be penniless when we leave. We're not like Congress. They come in middle income and leave extremely wealthy. That's not the way it comes with God. We take nothing with us. No. Sometimes God's word hits us at the right place. We live in a very self-centered world, very narcissistic. If you don't know that word, we've been using this during the pandemic time when people are looking at their self-interest instead of other people's interests. God is to be number one. The cross is the order of the day. May the Lord Jesus, who prepared the path for us, the Lord Jesus, who gave his life for us, the Lord Jesus, who calls us to follow in like fashion, keep us straight on the path. Amen. Hymn of the day is going to be What a Friend We Have in Jesus. Kenny Rogers came to us in CD fashion for What a Friend We Have in Jesus.
Thank you. temptations. Is there trouble anywhere? We should never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Find a friend so faithful who will all our sorrows share. Jesus knows our every weakness. Take it to the Lord in prayer.
Together our faith in the words of the Apostolic Creed. While it's 2,000 years old, God is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. Let us affirm our faith. I believe in God, the Father Almighty,
creator of heaven and earth.
I believe in Jesus Christ,
God's only Son, our Lord,
who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary,
suffered under Pontius Pilate,
was crucified,
died, and was buried.
He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again.
He ascended into heaven.
He is seated at the right hand of the Father.
And he will come
to judge the living and the dead.
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church,
the communion of saints,
the forgiveness of sins,
the resurrection of the body,
and the life everlasting.
Amen. And hope leads us in our prayers this day.
Confident of your care and helped by the Holy Spirit, we pray for the church, the world, and all who are in need. God of faithfulness, you bid your people to follow Jesus. Set the mind of your church on divine things. Grant trust in you that we lose our lives for the sake of Christ and thereby discover joy in life through him. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
God of wonder, the earth is yours and all that is in it. Heal your creation and give us eyes to see the world as you do. As the seasons change, pattern the rhythm of our lives in harmony with all creation. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
God of all nations, you call us to live peaceably with all. Give us ears to hear one another. Even those we name as enemies, fill all leaders with mercy and understanding. They advocate and generally care for those who are poor and most vulnerable in their communities. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
God of salvation, you promise to deliver us. Give those who suffer a strong sense of your presence and love. Accompany those who are uncertain, raise the spirits of those who are despairing, and heal the sick. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
God of community, you call us to rejoice in hope, be patient in suffering, and persevere in prayer. Make our congregation a worship of your love. When we quarrel, bring reconciliation. Help us overcome evil with good. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
God of all grace, You give us everlasting life. In love, we recall your holy ones who now live in your undying light. In our remembering, give us a foretaste of the feast to come. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
And gracious God, we know that you know that there are many in our heart, not only in our families, whatever their individual needs and conditions are, that request or silently need our prayers. Be with them. We also remember from the family of faith here at our Savior, Joe Colthart, for the continual healing for him, for his dear wife, Elvira Colthart, as she heals and she has such extreme pain. For Donna Taylor, as her diagnosis and information comes back in, be with her to give her relief from pain. For Ray Shinosky and his dear wife, Sue, watch over them, O Lord, through medical and spiritual ways to give them peace and healing according to your will. We also pray for the family, friends of Ken Perry, not his family, but friends of his of Ken, his neighbor, Norm McLeod, were best of friends to Ken's father. When he passed away, he was like the uncle to good old Ken and Ken's mother. And now he has passed away this past week. Then, to show you how recent prayers are, I was on Facebook this morning, and Mary Boulderston from our congregation has posted her need for prayers, as she has been informed her cancer is active again. We came to know Mary and joined our Savior some years ago, about five, dealing with her cancers throughout these years. So be with her, gracious God. For all these people, Lord, ensure and certain hope that nothing will separate us from your love. We offer these prayers to you through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
We continue in prayer as Jesus taught us. Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
At this point in the service, we would take an offering. Rest assured, we still need your funds because our bills have not stopped. Whether the doors are open or closed, utilities and minimal levels of compensation for people who work for our Savior, myself, or Bill Croner, our custodian, who's now working the 20 hours a week. Also for the volunteers like Doug Cole, for others from the trustees who step up to the plate, not necessarily taking an assignment, but looking what they can do, the initiative, to look around this place while we're kind of in a semi-lockdown position. Remember also on Wednesdays, we have a Bible study. For those who are asking questions, I thought that it was be outside, and it was. And then in discussion, for those who participate, we talked about carrying lawn chairs to grounds that could be soggy, because the first two Wednesdays were rainy ones, the day after or the day upon it. So we have come indoors, as we did with church council, sitting two per table, 8 feet apart. We follow all protocols. We continually are asking the question, even if you don't hear the discussion among the leaders of this church, when do we open? We will let you know as soon as we get a nod in a direction. So, all that aside, please remember one another in prayer. Please pray for the ongoing ministry of this church. If others leave us to find other grounds, God bless them in their search and their journey. And God bless us here on our 100th anniversary of our Savior. So, we have the offering hymn. Hope if you'll give us. We plow the fields together. Hope you remember this hymn in the hymnal.
God of goodness and growth, all creation is yours, and your faithfulness is as firm as the heavens. Water, word, wine, bread, these are signs of your abundant grace. Nourish us through these gifts, that we might proclaim your steadfast love in our communities and in the world. Through Jesus Christ, our strength and our song. Amen.
Amen. We're going to omit the sending hymn for those of you who have the order of service. We're watching the clock. Let me speak the blessing. Neither death, nor life, nor angels, not rulers, not anything present or anything yet to come to our face, nor powers, not height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation that's going to be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus, God the Creator, Jesus the Christ, and the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, bless you and keep you in eternal love. Amen.
Amen.
Now, I wanted to get to this point, and Cheryl, if you want to say something too. Sharon Hudson always wanted this at the closing of patriotic times, 9/11, a lot of different things, Memorial Day. Let there be peace on earth. I finally got a copy we can use. That's better than Cheryl and I singing it.
And let it begin with me. Let there be peace on earth, the peace that was meant to be.
Let's start right here, right now, where you are, and let it reach out across the land that we love,
and in every congregation across this land, there is so much schism, division, that's not God pleasing. Let's subjugate the human will to God's will.
The Dora Fosters love you. We're sending out love and peace. And we're praying for each and every one of you.
Amen.
As we hope you're praying for us. Go in peace. Serve the Lord.